God is what the Bible declares him to be, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is that which the Word of God says it is, then I believe that there is a large part of the endowment of power that we are allowing to be unexplored in our experiences. And everybody said, amen. So these people on the day of Pentecost have become spiritually intoxicated. Now the dictionary says that intoxication is the state of being drunk. Extreme excitement. I like that. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, you can sit around a lot of times, and if you're not careful, you can become just an ordinary person. Charles D. Finney made the statement long ago, and he said that everybody that comes to the altar and prays through to Christ, they make a complete surrender to the Lord. When they're at this altar, they become absolutely a possession of Jesus Christ. Nothing are they withhold. And he said it would be a glorious thing if everybody would remain in that state. But he said they get up from the altar, and then they begin to look around at public Christian example, and then they begin to deteriorate and begin to settle down to the example that's around them. May God help us tonight. Brother, the Holy Ghost did not intend for you to be a duplicator. He didn't intend for you to be a carbon copy of something else you saw, but he intended for you to be alive by the Spirit of God and to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now this is the failure of the Pentecostal church. We looked at a public example and we simmer down to what we see is going on around. May God somehow stir you tonight to the very depths of your heart and put you under such condemnation that you will pray an individual prayer from here on. And God, I don't want to be like anything else I see necessary, but I want to be what the Spirit of God delights me to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I could take a lot of time, Brother Leonard, right here. And I could prove to you in a few minutes' time how much you act like somebody else that you've seen in Pentecost. How many times has the Holy Ghost moved upon you to do something, and you said, well, I've never seen anybody do that in all of my Christian experience. And you begin to fear, and the devil comes around and says, yeah, you're going to get in the flesh. And sure enough, brother, that's where you stayed. You didn't even get out of the flesh. You were still in the flesh. Amen. But God in his heaven gave us the endowment of the Holy Ghost that we might be a testimony dictated and directed by the infusion of the Spirit, and that we might be what the Holy Ghost wants us to be. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So tonight, I want you to look for it. In this story, you see the picture of a waiting church. Jesus had said to these disciples, you go into the city of Jerusalem, and don't you dare leave from there until you are endued with power from on high. That word endued means to be clothed upon. And the Spirit there was directing and said, don't you leave the upper room until you're really suited in the Holy Ghost. You're wrapped up in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is clothed with you. Hallelujah. And when you leave there, it's not you anymore, but it's the Holy Ghost in you from here on. Ah, hallelujah. We call this book the Acts of the Apostles, but I'd rather say that it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. Amen. For you see a bunch of people that is intoxicated on the Spirit. Amen. And the Bible said here, these men are not drunken as you suppose, for there haven't been anywhere to get any wine this early in the morning. At 9 o'clock in the morning, the stores haven't been open long enough for them to get drunk, but these are drunk with wine. Hallelujah! The heavenly wine, the wine that is coming from the Pentecostal storehouse that God has opened up in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so here they are. Now this is a waiting church, waiting in the presence of the Lord. Somebody said that that was a bunch of backsliders that had went back to the upper room and there was waiting until condemnation was lifted off of them. I think I can prove to you, anybody that thinks sanely, in about 3 minutes, that they was not backsliders. Number one, the Bible said they returned to Jerusalem with power and great joy. You've never seen a backslider in all your life was filled with joy. They just don't have any joy. They're filled with condemnation. They're filled with fears. They're filled with doubts. They're filled with all kinds of miseries. They don't have any joy. And so consequently, this wasn't a bunch of backsliders in the upper room, but they were those that Jesus had called was waiting the endowment of the power from on high. And then I'll tell you something else. Jesus said, you go and tarry. And they went directly according to the words of Jesus, and they become an obedient people. And backsliders are the most disobedient folk that you ever saw in all your life. You think they're going to do something, and they'll do something else. You go out and pay a visit, knock on the door, and they'll say, yeah, preacher, I'll be in church. I'll be in the revival tonight. And then all the time, they don't intend to be there. That's good preaching. Oh, hallelujah. I said backsliders are the most disobedient people. They're all on the face of the earth. But these were obedient. Oh, hallelujah. Well, if that hasn't convinced you that they weren't backsliders, I've got one more punchline I want to give to you. And the Bible said they waited for 10 days praising and prayer and magnifying the Lord and prayer. Brother, you never kept a backslider that long in the church house in a prayer meeting. You never seen them. You couldn't get them there. Why, you can't even get them to the altar line. They was not backsliders, but they've been saved by the power of Jesus' blood. But there was waiting an infusion of God on the day of Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I pray, God, let the Holy Ghost intoxication move over this audience tonight. And I so pray that every one of you are so infused by the Spirit that when some of you women go home, your husbands will think that it's another woman. Amen. Because you've been so full of God. And you men go home and you act like a different man. Because the Holy Ghost has so infused you. Don't forget it, brother. The Holy Ghost never intended that you be a carbon copy now of anything you've ever saw, that you're an individual, and the Holy Ghost wants to use you in the way that God can use you. Now I will draw a little picture for you. The symptoms of a drunk man, they're quite peculiar. But a man who is intoxicated has lost all signs of fear. Come on now. Amen. He's lost all signs of fear. I'll tell you, he can act like he owns the whole world. He doesn't fear anything. Now I want to remind you that just about 10 days prior, or 12 days prior, this same bunch of disciples had turned and turned yellow and run like cowards out of the Garden of Gethsemane and let the Lord Jesus Christ stay there alone. They were nothing but cowards when they was there in the garden. But now in that same bunch that run from the scene of the crucifixion and the trial of Jesus now stands and faces the same Sanhedrin and the same bunch of critics, and they say with a voice of authority, this is death that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. This is the Christ that you, by wicked hands, have crucified. Brother, they've lost that fear because they've been infused with this intoxication of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, fear. Oh, heaven is tonight in this audience. The devil absolutely wraps you up in fear when it comes to the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Your soul takes a chill and the Holy Spirit has to take its flight and go to somebody else that will allow them, him to use them in a moment of manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'll tell you, but if you'll open up your heart, and if you'll forget about yourself, and if you'll get the self-consciousness out of the way for just a moment, and let the intoxication of the Holy Ghost come in your being, You'll act like you never have thought you could act under the manifestation and power, because it's not you that is acting, it's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost himself. You know, that's the thing we think. We think the Holy Ghost has been given to us to use. Oh, no, brother. No. The Holy Ghost has been given a house to live in, and arms to use, and lips to speak through, and eyes to look through. The Holy Ghost has been given a tabernacle, a house to live in. Hallelujah! And organs magnify and glorify the great God of heaven. So it's the Holy Ghost that has been given the privilege of ministering through you. Amen? Lose all signs of fear. I remember very timid and a very quiet type of little woman. One time was in a revival meeting, and this lady, she never was outspoken. She never did try to push to the front. She always kind of sit back. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of her one night, and we had a crowd up around the front, and I'd already counted 30 people that were slain on the floor. They was lying around on the floor like cross ties that had been piled out of the railroad track. And they was laying around through there, and then there was about 25 or 30 more that was up dancing and shouting in the spirit. And I was standing on the platform, and I seen this timid, backward little lady, like, as she ducked her head and closed her eyes, as tight as you please. The reason why, I know, I looked to see. And her eyes was closed, and she began to dart out through that crowd and run out through those people that was laying out on the floor. And believe you me, she never touched a one of them. She never run into anybody. She never run into a pew. She didn't run into a wall. And she made about 3 or 4 circles around that entire auditorium that night, and dodging around through the crowd. And you would think that she was guided by some kind of radar. But her head was down and her eyes was closed, and the Holy Ghost had put her on a line, and she was obeying the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? She lost that fear. Now I'll tell you, when you become intoxicated, your confidence is bolstered. Why, a drunk man thinks he can whip the whole town. Why, you can threaten to whip him, and he'll say, "Oh, just let the whole town come out. I'll show you what I can do." Your confidence is bolstered. I'll never forget us driving down through Seminole. Me and my wife was one time, and here was a drunk guy staggering out through the main drag going through town. And I thought, my, what in the world is that guy getting out on the street for, or out on the highway for? And he got right out in the middle, and he looked both ways, and then he put his hands up, staggering around and wobbling. He put his hands up, and he looked at my car just like he could take it with his two fingers and throw it off of the road. And he held his hands up like that, and traffic stopped both ways. And he just put his hand down and went right on the cross. Oh, have delivered you. When you let the Holy Ghost come inside to the intoxicating state in your life, brother, your confidence is bolder, and you'll think you can take a hold of the very horns of the devil himself and throw him out the window, because it's not you any longer, but it's he that dwells within you. Hallelujah. And the Bible has said, he that is within you is greater than he that is within the world. And that's talking about the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's another symptom of being drunk, and that is a drunk man is easily excited. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Leonard, I'll tell you sometimes, I wonder what it will take to get some people excited in God. Amen? Come on now. What's it going to take to get some people excited? I suppose this congregation is like mine. I've got a few people in my wonderful congregation, and I'm telling you, the very first impressions of the Spirit, they're responding like everything. They're responding just like a boy does when a girl is making love to him. Amen. Boy, he begins to eat that up, you know, and he catches the first word of romance and anything she has to say. And I'm telling you, if there's immediate response in it. Brother, I want you to know, Holy Ghost filled people ought to be on such a relationship with God, and they ought to be sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost, that when the Spirit of God begins to move in an audience, they'll forget who they're sitting by. They'll forget anything they come here for, and give themselves ultimately to the power and the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? But we can have a demonstration of God and a manifestation of God in this service tonight, and have a Jericho march. And without an accident, there'd be a half a dozen or more that would sit on the pew and never get into it. You know, the Bible said to weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. And that's one thing we haven't learned yet. We haven't learned how to push old self aside and get in the worship of the Spirit, whatever it is, and join the Holy Ghost in his outreach and his ministry and in his effort to do the work of God in that service. Oh, brother, let me tell you tonight, this is an eternity-bound congregation, and God has Spirit-filled us for one purpose, and that is to get excited through the Holy Ghost and know that it makes a hunger in the heart of the man or woman that doesn't know God. I had a Assembly of God preacher that held a revival meeting in Texas one time. And he said that he is holding this revival in Assembly of God Church, and said there was a Baptist church across town that a bunch of them had received the Holy Ghost. And they had just begun to learn how to submit to the Spirit So one night during their revival meeting, a bunch of them came over. And they looked around and they watched how the Assembly of God folk just kind of halfway sung the songs and kind of sit in a dither all through the service. And they said, "My God, deliver us from this kind of the Holy Ghost." Said, "Let us go back to the Baptist church." They went back to the Baptist church where they come from, thanking God that God had given them something more than what the Assembly of God folks said. Huh? I don't know what you think, but I think the Holy Ghost is just the same, neighbor. I think the Holy Ghost will be just as real to you as it will anybody else. I want you to know we ought to stay in a relationship with God that we're easily excited by the impressions and the leadership of the Holy Ghost in this house. Brother, we're living in the closing days of time when God wants to pour out a Holy Ghost, earth-shaking revival. And we who are filled with the Holy Ghost, a lot of times it'll take 3 to 6 weeks of the moving of the Holy Ghost before we can even get warmed up and tuned up and prayed through to where the Holy Ghost can use us in this hour. I didn't expect all of you to say amen. But I want you to know, brother, if you tonight was anticipating being tied on behind an automobile and dragged down through the cities of Florida because you attended this Assembly of God revival, if it meant that much to you that you was going to put everything you could into the service and get everything you could out of the service, I want you to know you'd be sensitive to the Holy Ghost in this meeting tonight. You would get every little impression of the Spirit, and you would hold on to it with a bulldog tenacity, knowing that as soon as you walked out the front door, somebody might lariat rope you and tie you on behind the car and drag you to your death and destination down to the streets of the city because of your testimony in Christ. I say tonight we need a depth of the moving of the Holy Ghost in our lives in the Pentecostal church that will go deeper than what the average Assembly of God church allows the Holy Ghost to go for them in this hour. We had a fellow from Russia that was a missionary to Russia in our church not very long ago. And he confirmed a statement that some of the Russian Christians had made. He said the kind of Christianity that is in America today is not the quality that will stand the test when the crucial hour comes. I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters. There are people just like you across the land that are giving their testimony in their blood for the very thing that you and I are in for. And I want to sound another little prophetic utterance for you tonight. That is, if time tarries, Jesus delays his coming, I believe the church again is going to face persecution in the last hours and days. I didn't say it's going through the tribulation, no, sir. But I read in my Bible, brother, before that notable day of the Lord's coming, there can be a persecution of the church again. And I want you to know, I want the quality of the Holy Ghost in my life that will help me to stand whatever the test might demand of me. And I know if I do it, I'm going to have to listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to have to be sensitive to it. And then there's another symptom of intoxication. And that is they are inflamed or motivated from within. Are you listening to me tonight? I'd say that 90% of the people that are listening to me right now are motivated from you live by the natural senses instead of by the spiritual senses. Now don't you look at me so straight. Brother, if that wasn't the truth, you wouldn't need so many revival campaigns to keep you alive. Brother, you'd be so alive that you'd be getting everybody that's dead to life again outside the doors of this church. Living by the natural senses instead of by the spiritual senses. Did you know when Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane and prayed his notable prayer? He said, Father, I pray not that you'll take them out of the world, but that you will keep them in the world. God doesn't want to take you out of the world. God doesn't want to deliver you from all the crises of life. God doesn't want to make this Christian pathway like a boulevard. He doesn't want to give you a ride like a riding in a dinosaur Buick. He wants you to feel the pricks of the thorns along the wayside. And your spiritual senses is going to declare a reality to you every time you feel the prick of an earthly thorn. I'm so glad that my citizenship is in another world. I'm so glad that I belong to the family of God, that this old sin-ridden earth is not my eternal dwelling place, but I'm only a pilgrim and a stranger seeking for a country to come. And I turn over and I read in the book of Hebrews, and Paul is declaring a better country, a better city, a better place to live, a better rest that's coming to the people of God. Oh, my brother, tonight, God wants us to be motivated from within by the power of the Holy Ghost, and not led and guided by the natural senses of the natural body. Amen. How intoxicated are you tonight? How far the Holy Ghost are you? How much of your daily life is motivated by the Spirit? And how much is a dead drudgery and a struggle of the flesh? motivated by the natural senses. But I want you to notice the difference that came in when the intoxication came. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said, when you're a Christian, that you have the Spirit with you. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have the Spirit in you. And brother, there's a lot of difference of having the Spirit with you and having the Spirit in you. Amen. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost has come to be a constant guide to dwell with you forever. I wish I could shake some of your theological teeth tonight. But I want to give you a little secret, brother or sister. The Holy Ghost doesn't take his flight every time the devil tells you that you're backslid. Just because you don't feel some exuberant ecstasy of the Spirit, the devil said you're backslid and you've lost out. I told you you couldn't live it. And you said, that's right. I don't feel a thing. There you are again. You're going by natural senses. I want to ask you a question. How does faith operate? Does faith operate because of natural senses? No, sir. It operates in spite of natural senses. It would not be faith any other way, but it operates in spite of the natural senses that you have. And it operates in spite of everything the devil tries to poke down his garbage down you. And you can stand there and listen to him if you want to, brother. But I have gotten so tired of the trash of the devil that I have said, devil, get back to the pit from which you came. You're not using my ears like a garbage can any longer. And I refuse to listen to your trash. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Ha ha! Oh, hallelujah. I can tell every time when I'm getting close and hot on the devil's trail, brother, he doesn't like it. And a lot of the time when I'm getting hot on the devil's trail, I'm sore scorching the flesh that a lot of people are living in. Woo! What would happen to this Assembly of God church if all of a sudden tonight we would become intoxicated with the Holy Ghost to such an extent we did not care and we did not want to be governed by the natural man, but we wanted to be liberated. We wanted to rejoice in the spiritual man. What would happen to this church? Brother, I'll tell you what will happen to it. The same thing that happened in Acts 2 and 4. There'd be a crowd so big tomorrow night that couldn't get inside this building, and they'd be standing around the doors and the windows wanting to find out what's going on in the Pentecostal church. The reason why they're not coming any more than they are in this day and hour, they don't see anything when they get here. Come on. Amen. Have I lost you? Hello, you still out there? Amen. That's the truth. They haven't seen anything. What are you trying to do, Brother Luna? I'm trying to stir your heart and soul tonight to become so hungry, to be intoxicated by the Holy Ghost, that you'll not live in the natural flesh, but that you will live in the spiritual realm. Brother and sister, there's a higher plane for you to live on than where you're living tonight. Amen. There is a place in the spirit that God wants to bring you to, that the people of this town will marvel and they'll ask, what in the world has took place in your life? Because the Holy Ghost has had an infusion and an invitation in your heart and in your life, and he's took up a new residence, and he's took all the reins of the life that you've been living. And now then you're living a different life. You're the same person, and yet you're not. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the 120 now had the Holy Ghost within. Now the difference of having the Spirit with you and having in you is the same difference of having a beautiful apple pie sitting here on this altar and having a part of that in here. I don't care how beautiful that pie looks until I sample it and I take some of it in. I can tell nobody how good it is. So the psalmist David cried out, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're tired tonight of dead fundamentalism, if you're tired of a dead routine, if you're tired of lifelessness and listlessness in the life of the church and in your own spiritual life, brother, this is the answer. And that is the intoxication of the Holy Ghost that will make the difference between the Spirit moving up on you occasionally and him dwelling inside continuously in your heart and in your life. In that little Dodge sitting out here in front of Brother Pastor's house, it's got oil in it right now. I checked the crankcase before I left, and the oil is in there. But neighbor, that engine is not oiled until I turn the switch on and I crank up the motor and the pump begins to push the pressure of the oil all over every moving part of that engine. And then it sits there and it sings like a little bird. Hallelujah. And brother, the Bible said the anointing that is within you abides in you forever. It does not take its flight. And what you're calling the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon the preacher when he turns red in the face, what you're talking about when somebody stands up in the pew and they give a glowing testimony and their face begins to blush with red, because the Spirit begins to move within them, is not the anointing of the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost anointing is in you and it abides. But it is the unction of the Holy Spirit when you put the spiritual pump to work on the inside of you and it put that vital life flowing all over your life. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid of meeting the bear like David did. The very minute you face that giant out there, the Holy Ghost will get the pump in operation and you'll have all you need. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I've got to hurry because my time is going away. But I'll tell you. Now, you can have a boiler full of water. And that's a lot of difference between having a boiler full of water than having a boiler full of boiling water. It's a lot of difference. I said that's a lot of difference. And I think sometimes from the way we react, we've got a boiler full of water and it's got wiggle tails in it. It's got drugs of all kinds in it.